Yes, good to have you with us this morning at 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307, more from which here in just a moment. Correction on what I had said about an earlier texter. No, of course, it does not make sense that, in fact, the digital method of voting links a name to a ballot. No, that's not the case. Whether or not there are reasons why the digital method is more secure or not, I don't know. But that would certainly not be it. And texter here says earlier texter is full of it. South Carolina law section 713.130 states the right to vote of each person so entitled and the secrecy of the ballot shall be preserved at all times. Having a voter's name or other identifying information associated with their ballot violates the guarantee of secrecy. Quite correct. And sometimes multitasking doesn't lead to the best decision on the part of your host here, but yes, I should have noted that immediately. Okay, here. LOL, in describing Hillary, Biden, and Sanders as the PGA Seniors Tour, I hope you meant the Please Go Away Tour, John in Spartanburg County. Yeah, well, you know, not necessarily. I think I would prefer to have the Democrat retreads than I would a new voice. The thing about a new voice, like an Obama, for example, is that sometimes the public can get enamored of them. But the same-o, same-o, yeah, I'd like to see those running against President Trump. I really would. I don't think there's a way in the world they win. Another texter says, if Hillary isn't in jail in 2 years, we are already Venezuela. Lock her up. Lock them up. Where is the rule of law? The Democrats better remember that all this stuff works both ways. One would hope. I don't know. I will see who becomes the new attorney general. But there are a lot of things out there that are still pending that the statute of limitations has not run out on. Hillary's emails, the Clinton Foundation, arguably the biggest scandal in terms of money in the history of this country, certainly, and in the history of the world, it's got to be up there pretty close to the top. Absolutely. Heck, I still haven't forgotten Fast and Furious, for Pete's sake. Loretta Lynch sitting on the tarmac talking about grandchildren with Bill Clinton. Remember that? There are a lot of things that are still hanging fire that the rule of law should be addressing. And I've had this argument on the air that people consider it unseemly to hold people in elective office accountable by the law, that it gives the perception of using the law as a political weapon. Not if it's done properly. I'm not in favor of using the law as a, quote, political weapon either. But if someone, in fact, has broken the law, and there's credible evidence enough to present a case, present the case. There is something very wrong with Hillary Clinton getting off on her email, for example, when somebody named Hillary Smith would be tried, convicted, and go to prison. That's wrong. And that's the point that needs to be made, that the law should apply to everybody. I will not pretend that I am enough of a Pollyanna that I believe that that's how it always works. But it's vital that we make it work that much as possible. Yes, people who have powerful friends will always be more likely to get away with something than others. That's just part of the human condition. I don't accept it or condone it, but I recognize it as a reality. But those interested in good government will try to make it as difficult as possible to see to it that how rich you are or how powerful you are has the least possible bearing on how you are treated. That's one of the big problems with much of this world. You must understand that assuming that money buys you more than favorable treatment before the law is the way of the world in much of the world, virtually the entire Arab world. We call it corruption. They call it the way they do things. And that is a sweep that, with few exceptions, extends from Morocco all the way across North Africa through the Middle East and as far to the east as Pakistan, a huge swath of population that covers billions of people, that I don't want to become that part of the world. Thank you. So, yes, I recognize the fact that people with influence will always try to use it, and sometimes they will succeed. I do not accept the fact that we let them get away with it. We make it as hard as possible. And in fairness to the system, I would note that that is less the case now than it ever has been. We do a better job of accountability. It may not seem like it, but we really do. We do a better job than we have in the time. Jimbo, can you think of a time when a Republican candidate was charged or implied that he or she cheated during an election? Oh, there have been. None that jump right out at me, I suppose, off the top of my head, but there have been such charges. Of course, every time you have voter ID laws or anything of that nature, you're automatically accused of voter suppression. The idea that we should actually determine who votes. Let's not forget that on the left there is the view that everybody should vote. Citizen, non-citizen, here legally, here illegally, whatever, they don't really care. That's a view that's commonly held. It's this one-world nonsense, when in point of fact, to vote in an election in this country, or for that matter, any other country, you should at least be remotely aware of the law and the candidates and the issues, and you should also be a person who is in a legal status to vote. Incidentally, if you didn't notice, Florida, by referendum in this last election, voted for something like, what, 1.4 million convicted felons to have the right to vote. What percentage of those do you suppose will be Democrats? I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. That one change in the law to remove the ban on convicted felons voting could turn Florida from purple to flat-out blue. And that could make it hard to elect a Republican president, because Republicans have depended on the red status of Texas and Florida as our electoral college bulwarks. So I'm going to be curious as to see how that happens, but that could be one of the more far-reaching referenda ever voted in this country, the Florida referendum that voted to let convicted felons have the right to vote again. That will be a tidal wave of Democrats. It's a huge percentage. There are an awful lot of people in Florida who have not been allowed to vote, at least legally, because they were convicted felons. And that could change things significantly, and not for the better, in my humble opinion. Let's see. Anyone who says that Hillary should be locked up for mishandling her emails would surely have to agree on putting Trump away for conducting national business over a consumer-grade personal phone. I don't know that, in fact, he has conducted any national business over any kind of insecure mechanism. I don't know that. I don't know that. If, in fact, he has violated such standards, that would be different. I'm not aware that he necessarily has. Going back to that original texter and the responses that we've been getting, anyone who says that Hillary should be locked up for mishandling her emails would surely have to agree on putting Trump away for conducting national business over a consumer-grade personal iPhone. I'm not aware that he has, but certainly if in fact he has risked national secrets and classified information in such a way, yes. You also mentioned Clinton's financial transgressions, but I trust not with a straight face, considering the slime-drenched past of our current president. A, you can cite chapter and verse of actions taken by the Clinton State Department, which turned around and got rewarded in terms of massive donations to the Clinton Foundation. If you've got some kind of evidence besides innuendo, we'd love to hear about it. I'm not aware that, in fact, the slime-drenched past of our current president is anything more than just so many catchphrases, or that it has affected his work. But again, Texter, I'm sure you know all about it. Please enlighten the rest of us. Let's see here. Other texters, Trump has three phones provided to him and secured by the federal government. The story that claims that he is using an unsecured phone like Hillary is fake news. As far as I know, it is. We have photographic proof that Hillary used a consumer-grade BlackBerry phone. Guess your texter wants to lock her up? Question mark. Well, no, I'm sure not. No, the texter is just upset with the fact that so much corruption resides on their side of the fence. Another texter here. We have clear, unequivocal evidence that Hillary illegally sent classified material over an unsecured connection. Do you have evidence Trump has done the same? That's the core of this discussion. Yes, we do have such clear evidence about Hillary. Do you have evidence Trump has done the same? I certainly don't, and I dare say the texter doesn't either. The texter is just unhappy that Trump won, and that's not enough to be persuasive. Let's see here. This is cute. Texter says, Tara not on vacation. She is in Facebook jail. Okay. The times in which we live. All right, 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And I was just noting what Jerry Nadler, the New York congressman, had to say this morning, that they could subpoena Robert Mueller. He, of course, is likely to be the new Judiciary Committee chair. Now, there has been talk that possibly there could be some deals, some accommodations made between President Trump and the Democratic Congress. I think that that is possible, theoretically, as regards at least a couple of things, immigration. I think that the president will try for and might get, and it might be worth it, a wall in exchange for DACA amnesty. That's not the way I would have preferred this to work out. That wall and determining who gets in, and which by the way, a properly built wall does to a very high percentage of reliability, ask the Israelis, that wall is important. And if the price of that, now that the Democrats control the House, is amnesty for the Dreamers, that's not ideal, but I could live with that. Another area of possible compromise would be Obamacare. We had a chance to repeal and replace, and we blew it. So now, at least for 2 years, we're stuck with Obamacare. And a lot of people depend on Obamacare, and Obamacare is dismally failing, and it needs to be rescued. I am serious about that. Even though the long-term goal should remain repealing and replacing it, and maybe the next time around we can actually do that, in the interim, it needs to be fixed. It's not going away for at least 2 years, and there are people who are stuck with that terrible law. It needs to be fixed. Mitch McConnell's talked about it. I think in this case that Mitch McConnell is right. I think President Trump is right. So on immigration and on health care, possibility of compromise exists. But then again, you look at who is chairing the various new House committees. These are likely chairs. It could change, but it's not likely. Maxine Waters, Financial Services. Oh, what could go wrong there? Yes, Mama Doc, who has a history of terrible financial corruption and ethics violations. Maxine Waters in charge of Financial Services. Well, sure, that'll work out just dandy. Adam Schiff, in charge of intelligence. You might as well just have Robert Mueller send his files all the way to Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee and Jerry Nadler's Judiciary Committee. That'll just be a passing of the torch. We'll make the Mueller investigation permanent on the Capitol Hill side of things. And then, of course, let's not forget everybody's favorite, Elijah Cummings on the Oversight Committee. Now, those people are going to ram things into Donald Trump's face as hard and as far as they can. So even though, as I said, there is the potential on policy for some kind of legislation to be passed, deals to be made, that I think on balance would be beneficial regarding health care and immigration, the Democrats are going to sabotage that themselves because the hyper-partisans they're going to be putting in charge of these critical House committees are going to do everything in their power to go after the president, to impeach him. And, of course, we all know how our president responds to in your face. He gets back in your face at them. And so the short answer, I think, is yes, it is theoretically possible we could have compromise. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think it's going to happen because the Democrats will see to it that it doesn't happen. The chairs of these committees will do everything in their power to provoke the president, and that'll be the end of that. So you're looking at 2 years of gridlock. That's my guess. 2 years of total legislative gridlock. And on the executive orders, how much is left for the president to do, really, under executive orders? There are limits, or there ought to be. I know Barack Obama found a few limits with executive orders. You may recall his approach was that if Congress wasn't doing what he wanted, that he would just say, well, I've got a pen, and I'll just sign executive orders. It's not an option. There should be very narrow, constrained limits of what a president can do to rule by edict. It's like John Kerry when the Iran nuclear deal became a fact. And he admitted in House testimony, he admitted that it was a treaty. It should have been approved by the Senate. But as he noted, we don't have the votes in the Senate. Like, that's an option. If you don't have the votes in the Senate on a treaty, you're supposed to lose. Okay. Checking out the texters here. Some interesting texts who are coming in here. Jimbo, I don't agree with not letting felons vote. I'm a diehard conservative, but also a felon. I guess it would depend on the circumstances. I can see a process where that might be considered. Nonetheless, I don't think it's a blanket good idea. Maybe there are special cases in which that should be allowed, but otherwise I would not. All righty, Jimbo, once again, I am wrong. Can convicted felons vote in most states? Oh, you said convicted felons vote in most states. You can't be in prison on probation or parole. I don't believe that is correct. Once again, I may be wrong, but in this case, I don't believe I am. In most states, they cannot legally vote. Now, do they vote? I'm sure they do. All kinds of people vote who should not. But not in most states, as far as I know. All right, Cortez for Speaker. Alexandra Ocasio-Braniac for Speaker. No smarter than Nancy, and a lot better looking. Okay, two for two. That is correct. Texter, I'm not eager for Sinema to win in Arizona, but if she does, I do look forward to seeing her on TV. She's a hottie. You know, I can find my hotties places besides, I think, on C-SPAN, actually. Let's see. Hillary's trifecta equals strike three. Hillary, you're out. Go to your grave knowing that you were rejected by the American electorate. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think she'll run again. I do. I think from the moment she lost, once she got her wits back together, which took a few days, but I think she was determined then, after the midterm elections, she would start polling and see if there was enough support that she could make a credible race. She wouldn't be a laughingstock. I think that's a given. There are enough diehard Hillary backers among Democrats, especially at a time when the party is divided on who to run in 2020. She won't win the nomination, but she'll run because she'll be credible. She'll be in the top three, four, what have you. She can hang on through Iowa and New Hampshire. In fact, South Carolina might be as good a place as any to end the Hillary Clinton for president once and for all. I think she'll run. I do. Let's see here. Did you say Robert Mueller would be the chair of the Judiciary Committee? Can he do that? He isn't an elected official, is he? No, he cannot be chair of the Judiciary Committee. I said that the incoming chair of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler of New York, has said that he could subpoena Mueller, which he could. And I have said that you might as well have Mueller just give his files to Adam Schiff at the Intelligence Committee and Jerry Nadler at the Judiciary Committee. But no, I did not say that Robert Mueller would be the chair of the Judiciary Committee. No, the chairs of committees in the House must be House members. Although, interestingly enough, in case you didn't know this, the Speaker does not have to be a member of the House. That's a fact. It says, the Constitution says, the House shall choose a Speaker. Now, granted, when you've got 435 of the biggest egos in the country in one chamber, the odds of them picking somebody outside that room are non-existent. But technically, yeah, you could pick the president of the Fountain Inn Rotary Club as the Speaker of the House. Technically, you could do that. Okay. Let's see. John McCain lost the opportunity to repeal Obamacare. He lost any legacy with that one childish act. He tarnished his legacy. I'll still give him the presence of a legacy, but he tarnished it. Absolutely. Good morning, Big Jim. Truth be known, the Republican Party is sleeping with the Democratic Party, or the Democrats have so much on the Republicans they are afraid to do anything, but it is another beautiful morning in Greer. Well, it's not a beautiful morning in Greer, but that depends. You can't generalize on every Republican. There are any number of Republicans, starting with Jim Jordan in the House, who are not that way, and there are others who are. That's one problem the Republicans have had. They've been acting like Democrats. They're a very fractious bunch in Congress. Let's see here. Justice Ginsburg breaks her ribs and comes to work almost the next day, but there's a little rain and President Trump can't make a trip to honor our veterans. As a matter of fact, he did make the trip to honor our veterans. And as for Justice Ginsburg, who of course had that movie made about her, the notorious RBG, let's just hope that her movie doesn't become Weekend at Ruthie's, okay? That would not be good. I read yesterday that the Parkland shooter was allowed to vote in Florida. We'll take that as a tongue-in-cheek text here. Did you just say Hillary had wits? What are you smoking today? Well, she has at least half wits. Yeah. No, she absolutely will run again. I said once she got her wits about her, to the extent that she is possessed of wits, yes. She's running again. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. She is going to run. She will not get the Democratic nomination, and she certainly won't be elected president, but she'll run because it's what she does. You know, some people collect stamps, other people play golf. Hillary runs for president. That's her hobby, and she is going to be well-funded enough. There are still Hillary loyalists out there, trust me, in terms of both voters, in terms of party organizers, and in terms of money, who would go with Hillary. She's not going to be the president of the United States, and I don't think there's any way she's ever the Democratic nominee, but she will run. I'm really thinking so. And that's fine with me. Let her run. Let her fight it out with Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Let the nursing home provide the next Democratic nominee. That's fine with me. I have no problem with that. Better than a new face that might prove suddenly attractive. Texter says, I know the chairman of the Fountain Inn Rotary Club, and he would never speak for the Democratic House. Probably true. Probably true. Let's see. Jim, you're right. Hillary does have wit because she's a dimwit. See? What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Okay. All right. The fact is that we've got some serious problems out there. And anybody who thinks that we do not have a problem with the Republicans losing the House, I think should pay closer attention. That's going to be a problem. The power of the majority in the House is considerable. The power to subpoena committee chairmanships, the power to determine what issues make it to the floor for a vote, that's a problem. There have been some squabbles over who won the 2016 election. Trust me on this. The Democrats did. Granted, the Republicans increased their margin in the Senate by how much we don't know, and that's historically significant. But the Democrats took the House, they took several governorships and several state legislatures, and that'll help redraw congressional district lines. this was not a victory for Republicans in this last election. It just wasn't the defeat that it might have been. 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, and a chance to talk here with Ray in Greenville. Hello, Ray.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was just to let you know that if you're convicted of a felony in South Carolina, as long as you've paid your debt to society, i.e. you're off probation, parole, then your right to vote gets restored.
Yeah, that can happen. There are 13 states in the District of Columbia where you can have it restored. That's true. But in some in two states, I think Maine and Vermont are the only two where it's just automatic. You never lose your right. But yes, and that's an increasing trend. Virginia is one of nine states in which people convicted of felonies receive the right to vote only by a specific action from the governor. Others automatically restore the right to vote after a person convicted of a felony serves time. It varies from state to state. So yes, there are ways.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That was all. Just wanted to clarify.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In Florida, of course, the vote that took place there, that could have a huge impact. In all likelihood, you would not be seeing a recount in Florida had felons been allowed to vote unrestricted in Florida before this election. You would have simply had both Democrats winning. That would have been the end of the discussion. I'm not saying that a partisan reason is a sufficient reason to keep people from voting. I merely note what the change would likely be. And the notion of committing a major transgression against society, which is what we're talking about here, I don't buy the notion of automatically granting that person the right to vote again, even after they have, quote, served their time, unquote. No, I don't. I don't buy that notion. All right. There has been, I'm trying to find here this serious question. Here we go. Chelsea Marie Smith. Ever heard of Chelsea Marie Smith? She was an employee of the Broward County Elections Office, and she has signed an affidavit that she saw employees filling out ballots in the Broward County Election Supervisor's office. She, by the way, has been fired and told not to come back, but she has signed this affidavit that that's what she saw, which is pretty pretty basic. As part of her regular duties, she writes, "I frequently handled absentee ballots, including time stamping, registering new voter residences, and sorting and delivering ballots to various sections of the headquarters there. One of my supervisors, Denzel Spencer, had reviewed the various ballots with me as part of my training. As such, I'm very familiar with the appearance of those ballots." And she claims that she is a witness to fraud. That is now a part of the one of the lawsuits that have been filed. The number of lawsuits that have been filed in Florida is astounding. If nothing else, this election will prove to be the Lawyers Full Employment Act of 2018. But it's critical that we get control of the electoral process in this country. It's critical in view of both actually counting votes, that matters, and the public perception. If people get the idea that their vote doesn't matter and that there's rampant fraud, then they're not going to easily accept losing. And that's when people start taking issues into their own hands. That can lead to violence, and that can't be allowed. So, yes, procedures have got to be updated. Equipment has got to be repaired or replaced, and above all, if you, in fact, engage in fraudulent voter activity, there needs to be serious, hard time for you. Serious, big time, hard time. Tim, go ahead, Tim. Go right ahead, Tim.
How are you, Jimbo?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, yeah, I disagree with a lot of the stance by what we call our conservative Republican base on convicted felons to vote. I mean, and my thing is, I had a thing for a while where I only hired convicted felons because I always felt somebody had to give them a chance. I mean, and I must say, I did really well in the people I chose. And in their political views, man, they are very conservative. That's why I don't understand why, but like our Republican base seems to think that, hey, if a convicted felon gets the vote, they're going to vote Democrat. I really don't see that, and I must say, I know several hundred. I have to say, I have the pleasure of meeting many of them. I just don't understand the blanket throw on them that they should never have the right to do anything.
Well, I don't think that they should not have the right to do anything. I mean, in terms of hiring, I think they need to be hired. In fact, I am even in favor of a law that says that employers can't ask, because if you ask whether someone is a convicted felon, then they're going to get released, but they'll be unemployable except for people like you. And at that time, what are they going to do? Commit crimes
exactly.
to stay alive.
Feeling go back to prison. Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, I think you will find because of the disproportionate amount of minorities who go to prison, and I don't say that as that it's purely racist, but simply because a larger percentage than their place in the population are convicted of crimes and go to prison, and given that minorities are much more likely to vote Democratic, I think you are looking at a rather unusual set of convicted felons, quite frankly, Tim.
Oh, yes, I agree with that, too. But it, the whole basis of our society is, as I grew up, was if you do something wrong and you're caught, you're convicted, sent to prison or whatever, you have paid your debt to society. Now let's have a do-over. Let's see you do right.
In terms of employment, I couldn't agree more. In terms of voting, depending on what you did and other factors, I'm open to the notion that some maybe should not, that having paid your debt does not automatically confer on you every right that you had. But it's a point worth discussing on another day. My time is up. Vince Coakley is coming up next here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We'll see you again tomorrow morning, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.